Okay. Wow. My name is Kenny Emanati. It's great to be clean, alive, and free from active addiction. I've been asked to introduce tonight's opening speaker. Before we go any further, I'd like to take a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. Everybody okay with that? All right. Moment of silence, please. God. Thank you. I got a little message here. Do not look directly into the spotlight. It's too late. Thank you. Anyway, I've been asked by the speaker tonight to introduce him, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to do so, because I've been knowing his brother for like 14 years, and he's been around a lot longer than that, and for him to ask me to introduce him just, you know, touched my heart. I watched him over the years in meetings in the Dulles Corridor area, and I was always inspired by the message he carried. He made me laugh sometimes he made me cry, but most importantly, I was able to empathize with the message he carried. We haven't been close over the years, but I like to think that he is a friend of mine. Even though we never broke bread together, we never hung out after a meeting together, we never even had a cup of coffee together. But this guy has touched my life. Since he joined the Exact Nature Group of Narcotics Anonymous in Sterling, Virginia, we've connected on a deeper level. It's amazing how adversity can bring folks together. I was there to share with him during his adversity. He was there to share with me during mine. I love this brother. He's prayed for me. His family has prayed for me. And I think he's a good man. And I love him. And I think you will too. Without further ado, I give you tonight's opening speaker, Ronnie Dee. Please welcome him.
Ronnie, I'm an addict. Can y'all hear me out there? Thank you, Kenny. Very grateful to be here tonight. Very grateful to be clean. Blessed man standing here tonight. I cannot see anyone out there. Should have worn my sunglasses. Thank you for taking a moment, Kenny, inviting God in the room. We know who's in charge here, it ain't us. You know, the people that did the readings tonight have worked hard for a long time. A lot of people in this room have worked on a lot of these conventions up here. A lot of hard work for a year, thank you. Service is not a position on a committee. It's a posture of the heart. It's something that we can learn to live in all our lives. And that comes from the new Living Clean literature. And may we all remember that this weekend. And everything may not go perfect. Some of the meetings might not start on time. We might forget the serenity prayer. Who knows? But guess what? The people putting this on are you. So remember to be patient. Remember what service is. Remember why we're all here. And, you know, I have a story to tell about that. You know, I sit in here tonight and I look up at this banner over here, "More will be revealed." That was my first NA convention right there. And I say that because there's somebody in here tonight, here this weekend, that it's their first convention. And welcome. Welcome home. You know, and remember how we act, how we treat others. It gets crowded in here on Saturday. We get a little frustrated, some of us get a little hungry, a little agitated. Remember, it's important how we treat each other. You know, I feel very blessed, very honored to be asked to share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, it's sometimes it's a little easier to go somewhere when you don't know people and tell your story than it is when you're in your own area, your own region, and, you know, your own home group members are here, because I can't run no game up here tonight. And, you know, Kenny put a plug out there for the Exact Nature group. They saved my life the last couple of years. You know, I've been coming here a long time, and I've been through a lot of stuff here. And, you know, he shared that through adversity, we became close with one another the last couple of years. And I'm here to tell you that if you stay here, you will face adversity. And, you know, the people that have been here for a long time can tell you that life will kick your ass, you know, and it ain't all pretty. You know, when I came here and I got clean and everything for a while started, you know, seemed to be uphill and seemed very rosy to me. And I didn't have a lot of tragedies and stuff happen to me early on. And, you know, through the years, if you stay here, you will be faced with some adversity. And, you know, I came to that first convention, and the gentleman that picked me up and drove me there called me today. He's been clean many years. He relocated to Arizona, and I miss him dearly. And, you know, he called me, knew I was speaking up here tonight, and he called me. And, you know, I reflected on that time in my life, and was desperate measures, desperate times. And you come to NA and you open the basic text and you hear some of the stuff and you start reading, and there were things in there that really opened my eyes and touched me. And when I read the line, it said, "Until in desperation we sought help from each other, not Narcotics Anonymous." You know, that's one of the lines that I related to, because I had reached a point of desperation in my life. And, you know, I don't go back and talk a lot about drugs, what corner I did it on, who I did it with. It may have been different corners than you. Might have been some different drugs, but I can guarantee you that the chaos, the unmanageability, the desperation, the powerlessness is all the same. We don't care what or how much you use or who your connections were. You know, what you've done in your past. We care about what you want to do tonight, what you want to do about your problem, and how we can help you. You know, I will tell you that I am a local. I did grow up in PG County. And I thought about this coming up here tonight. If I did harm you or steal from you, I'm making amends right now. And here's the good part, is if you stole from me, you can make amends and leave the money right up here on the corner of the stage tonight. We do recover. and we could laugh too. And you know, Kenny said something about me, and he said he's laughed with me and he's cried with me. You know, I can tell you right now, you know, I like to be a tough guy. I've been known to be a little boisterous, a little aggressive, but I can tell you this, it'd be a miracle if I make it through this tonight without shedding a tear. Because this thing is right here in my heart. And, you know, my desperation, my using, you know, people say I came in here the day before I died. That's my story. And, you know, I used to use it. I ended up in mental institutions. You know, I would use, and, you know, it was early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and, you know, I would use, and I would somehow get to a point where I just didn't function well, emotionally, mentally, and I was put in Western State a couple times, and you want to talk about a point of desperation? The last time I was in there, I wanted to stay. And if you'd have came up to me and you'd have asked me and you said, young man, do you want to leave here? I'd have said, no. And you know why? Because I was beat up. I was tired. I was tired of being hurt. I was tired of letting everybody down. I was tired of what it took to run that game out there. It beat me up. It wore me down. You know? And as much as I said I'd like to be a tough guy and thought I was this and that, I got beat up and robbed a lot. People took my money many times. And I gave my money to people holding my breath that they would come back knowing damn well they wasn't coming back. What is that? You know, and you know, I talk about the stuff. I didn't grow up, I didn't, somehow or another, I missed getting some of these principles of being trustworthy and trusting other people. And, you know, I wasn't trustworthy. I hurt other people. Other people hurt me. And, you know, I was a young man in my 20s. And if you would have asked me, you know, today's the day you get to pick the rest of your life. Do you want to stay in this mental institution or do you want to go face life again? I just said, you know what? Cash my chips in. I'm going to stay in here. I felt safe in there. I had a place to sleep. It was warm. I didn't feel threatened. And you know, that's a miracle that I didn't stay in there. I got out of there the last time in 1986, and I was walking out the door, and a gentleman comes up to me. He goes, you know, he said, hey, young man. He said, you got a minute? He said, I've seen you in here, and I watched you, and I've seen you in here before. And he goes, I just want to tell you something. He goes, I've been working here 20 years. And he said, I've seen people come in here not in bad a shape as you 20 years ago. And he said, we're feeding them with wooden spoons and wiping their asses for them. He said, you know, when you go out there to get into whatever you're going to get into again, he said, I hope you remember that. And you know what? I never forgot that. I never forgot it. And I got out of that place. I didn't have anywhere to live. And all my belongings at that point in my life in a paper bag. My family helped me from a distance. Like, I was not allowed to stay in their house or anything like that, but I did catch a ride. My mom picked me up at Western State and drove me to a detox in Winchester, Virginia. And I walked in this old broke down detox. I had never been that. It seemed very, very country to me then because I had grown up in Prince George's County in Southeast Washington. I wasn't familiar with Winchester, Virginia. And I walked in. You know, some of you guys cheering for Southeast, a lot of y'all are the ones that took my money. Yeah, and I went into that detox in Winchester, Virginia. They were going to give me a bed to sleep. And I walked in there with this bag of clothes, and I got dropped there. And I went in there, and I looked around, and it was this dirty, broken-down place. And I looked, and I thought, I don't belong in here. And you know what? after all that ass whooping, that disease was still alive and kicking. You know what it was telling me? Go ahead and go. Don't get that help. But you know, I grabbed my bag of clothes, I turned to walk out, and something came over me. And I thought, where are you going? Where are you going? It was cold out. It was December. I had a bag of clothes, and I'm identifying out thinking I'm better than this. And you know what? I turned around. I went and put that bag of clothes on that counter, and I said, I need some help. And you know what that was? That's the first time in my life where that decision was made by me to turn my will and my life over. And that's what that means when you know, when you give it up and you're tired and you're numb and you go put it down and you say, you know what? I ain't got it no more. I need some help. I can't do it. And you know, I was very emotional, very unstable. I stayed in this place. People would take me to meetings and walk with me like I had to be, you know, supported to get to a meeting or something. And I would cry a lot. If I shared in a meeting, I'd bawl. And a gentleman comes up to me afterwards and he said, you know, he goes, do you want to go to treatment or something? You need some help. And I said, you know, I'll go anywhere. I said, but I've been to treatment, all that stuff, a couple times. I've been to meetings before. He goes, well, do you want to go to treatment up on the hill? And I'm not standing up here endorsing treatments or anything like that. I'm just telling you my story here and you know, this journey that I took to get standing where I'm here tonight. And it was part of that turning that over and surrendering and getting that help. And you know, that guy took me to an expensive treatment center, took me in the room with this guy and left me. And I was ready to chase him. I was like, where are you going? You know, you brought me in here and you dropped me off. And the gentleman says, it's all right. He goes, you want help? I said, yeah. I said, well, I don't have insurance. I don't have money. Treatment and insurance was a big thing then, you know, and yeah, I said, I don't have money. I don't have any stuff like that. I couldn't get the state-funded treatment centers anymore. I'd worn all that out. And, you know, the gentleman says, you know, I'm going to let you have a bed in here. And this was like a $10,000 treatment center back in those days. He said, I'm going to give you a bed in here if you agree to go to a halfway house and get out of here for 90 days. And I wasn't the smartest guy, but I knew I had 4 months to live somewhere and eat, you know. And I said, you got it, I'm in. And I did my treatment. I went to the bottom of the hill. I stayed in a halfway house. And I'm gonna give you an example of this point of surrender in my life. Is while I was in this halfway house, I worked at a mattress store selling mattresses for about $5 an hour. And I had a big paying job in Washington, D.C. at the time. And they called me and they said, look, you know, we got to open it for you. We could use you here making this amount of money. And you know what? I said, it ain't the right time. You know, I need to work for $5 an hour. I need a little humility in my life. I need to learn something else in my life because the way I was doing life, it wasn't working. You know, me calling the shots gets me to Western State. And you know, that's humble to be a man standing up here telling you that if I call the shots, I get to the nut house. That's what I get. I need some help. You know? And you know, while I was in that halfway house selling them beds and getting some humility, at the same time I did get strung out on coffee. That was my introduction to coffee. And I went back to the house one night and I was like, you know, and my buddy goes, he goes, what's wrong with you, man? I said, oh man, I've just been drinking too much coffee. He goes, we'll get you off that. We'll like detox. He said, how much are you drinking? I said, 3 or 4. He goes, well, tomorrow night, just drink 2 cups. I said, no, 3 or 4 pots. You mean, I was like, these are the kind of relations and the stuff, you know, that I started meeting people. I started getting people involved in my life, you know. And that's where I was at, in that halfway house, meeting people. And this gentleman comes and gets me and my friend. And he goes, y'all want to go to a convention? We were like, what's a convention? You know, and at the particular time, I go to a meeting anywhere. I didn't understand anything about a disease concept. I didn't understand anything. All I knew was I was dying and my life was unmanageable and I wanted help, you know? And he said, it's a convention of NA. I said, I can't go. I can't get a furlough. I can't get out. He said, I can get you out. And he went to the halfway house and he knew the people there and he signed us out. We had like a whopping 2 years clean at the time, and he was the granddaddy of Winchester. And we laughed about it. He had an old Volkswagen and didn't even have a front seat, passenger front seat. He had a milk crate in there. And we're rolling from Winchester, Virginia, up to Annapolis, Maryland, to that convention right there. And me and my boy laughed because we was going to fight over that crate. I got the back seat. And we walked in, we got to the convention, and we missed the Friday night speaker meeting, and we walked into the dance. And I looked around, and I thought, what the hell? This is like a secret society. I didn't know there was that many clean people not using in the world, let alone in that area, you know? I just didn't know about this stuff. I mean, people, you know, there's still people that die and never get the message, but the message is out there now. It's out there, you know, and it's up to us, you know, to stay here and carry that message. And I thank those people that were at that convention that weekend. And that's right, our predecessors, that's exactly right. And, you know, I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have money for a room. You know, we met some friends there that he knew. They paid for my room. They put me up in a room. I went to meetings the next day. I had an absolute blast. And I went to the Saturday night main speaker banquet. Guy Chuck L. from Arizona spoke there. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, and people, all that's been going to my home group or known me around the area all these years, I'm sorry I'm wearing y'all out with the same old stuff, but it's my story, you know. And at that banquet that night, you know, something happened to me that night, sitting in there and looking around that room and feeling that hope, you know. And I talk about this a lot, and I walked out of that room that night, and I had a feeling that I really didn't know what it was. And today, standing here, I can tell you, it was hope. And you know what? Right there, y'all, that was the point in my life where all those years of despair turned to hope. That's right. Give God a clap. That's right. And, you know, there was a feeling in me that, you know what, maybe, these people are going to help me. Just maybe I'm going to be able to function in life and have a job and fit in somewhere. And, you know, what happened to me that weekend was incredible. And, you know, we talk about predecessors. The Sunday morning speaker at that convention was Doreen. And, you know, everybody here knows, you know, the mother. And, you know, it's those people that moved me and touched my heart so much, you know. And thank God for those people. Thank God for the Dot Cowleys and the Billy Easons and the Doreen Keys. You know, thank God for the Larry Norris. And you know what? People say to me sometimes, you know, well, you know, every meeting I go to, I got the most clean time. I got to go over here and get this. I got to tell y'all, somebody got to build the bridge. Somebody got to build the bridge. And those people built the bridge for us, you know, because what I found in Narcotics Anonymous was identification. You know, when I sat down and I looked at you guys and I told you that, you know, I spent 19 hours a day in a bathroom locked in there by myself. Y'all don't run from me. You look at me and you give me that nod like, yeah, I get that. You know, I tell people that, you know, I used to, all the curtains, I couldn't have one crack of light coming in. And man, I was psychotic. I would empty my pockets. I would go through everything. I would come to, I'd be like, man, what the hell are you doing? And I told my best friend that, you know, when I got clean. And you know what? He goes, man, you know what? He goes, I did the exact same thing. You know, and there's nothing wrong with psychiatrists, treatment, church. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But you know what you get when you come here and you take that risk and you tell your story? You get that non-identification. You know that person's walked 2 miles in your shoes. And they say, come on in, bro. Let me hold you. Let me help you. Because I know where you're at. I know how you feel. You know? And here's the miracle. Not only do we know where you're at, and we know how you feel, you never have to use again. You never have to use again. Just for today, you never have to use again. If you're here tonight and you're new, you know, hang around here this weekend. Open your ears up. And you know, I'm only one person with one message, and I can guarantee you everybody in here tonight won't like me. And you know what? That's why we have different meetings, different people, different messages, and we appeal to everyone here, you know? And this place is a wonderful, wonderful place. And, you know, my life took off from that point there, and something happened to me, and it happens to a lot of us. We never really stand for anything, and you come in here and you get clean and the stuff starts working in your life, and you know, we get real adamant about it and we start thinking we know something. And you know, I carried my little basic text around with me everywhere I went, and matter of fact, Doreen used to call me and my friend Kevin. She said we were basic text toters and script quoters, and you know, I had something to say. You know, but what that was we were adamant about this thing. You know, we knew it was working. It was making things happen in our life. And, you know, I got a sponsor. I got involved in service. And, you know, I became a productive member of society again. I'm going to do a time check here. You know, I've been here a long time, and I have to tell you that there's a whole lot of chapters that's happened in my life here. And there's the revelation when you first get clean, and you know, and you stay clean, and you realize that you can live and enjoy life without the use of drugs. And you know, you get a job, and you become employable again, and your family lets you back in again, and all that stuff's happened to me in my life. You know, I became successful at my job. I became a leader in my field that I'm in. I've had so many opportunities and blessings open up for me since I've been here. And, you know, I have to stand up here and tell you tonight, I gotta roll those pages through and tell you what happened to this addict in some of those future chapters. And, you know, it would be great if we just said we got here, we stayed clean, you know, life was wonderful and nothing ever happened again. But, you know, that's not the nature of addiction. It says in the literature that addiction is a cunning enemy of life. And you know what? It don't care how long you've been clean. It don't care who your home group, who your sponsor is. You know what? It wants you alone and it wants you dead. And that's the nature of what we have. And you know, I say this all the time, that, you know, time is an enemy, you know, because success is an enemy. And, you know, we start feeling like, you know, we're okay. And maybe I don't need that service position. I'm tired from work. I'm not into that argument. I'm not interested in it today. You know, then it's, well, I'm only going to go to a couple meetings a week. You know, then it's the phone rings and it's sponsee, and man, I want to watch this show. I don't feel like taking that call. And life can get real overwhelming, and other things can become real important. And you know, you can lose yourself in here. And I have to tell you that that's happened to me through these years. And you know, it talks about money, property, and prestige diverting us from our primary purpose. I'm here to tell you that I floated out of here on that. And I didn't use drugs, but I lost myself. You know, I lost all the stuff that seemed so important to me. And you know, I've got to do a lot of stuff, go a lot of places, and you know, there's this time that I remember. I was at a Super Bowl, and I felt like I was living the dream. Like I was getting to go all these places, do all these things, spend all this money, hang around all these people. And I was sitting like at the 40-yard line at a Super Bowl, and I looked around and I felt like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I don't feel good here. Something's missing. And you know what? I've lost myself in here. You know, I've looked outside myself and not inside. I've looked outside my relationship. I've lost myself in here at times. And Kenny talked about my adversities, you know. A few years back, I came into NA with my tail between my legs. And, you know, I have to tell you that you people welcomed me just like you did the first day when I came in here. And, you know, the guys, the men in the Exact Nature home group, you know, picked me up and took care of me. And I'm forever grateful for that. And I tell you that to say that the principles are the same when you have one day or when you have 30 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And, you know, look around at the clean time countdown tomorrow night. You know, there were a bunch of people at that first C&T. You know, and there's a lot more people here now. There's a lot of people that don't stay here. Why don't they stay here? You know, NA is the best game in town, I feel like, tonight. I can say that to you tonight. But you know what? Addiction works on you, and it tells you not to stay here. You know, not to help that other addict. And people go by the wayside. And, you know, I wonder why there isn't more people with 32 years, 34 years, 36 years. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that were at the convention. And, you know, time is an enemy. And, you know, today, I love where I'm at in my life. I love this fellowship. It saved my life. It's gave me a life worth living. You know, tonight, before I came over here, you know, I was having a quiet moment and, you know, trying to get in touch with that God. I don't understand. And I wake up every morning, and before I do anything, I get on my knees and I make that decision, you know, to turn my will and my life over. And I ask God, you know, to please take my will and my life today and guide me in my recovery. And you know, I pray and I hold my girl's hand, you know, and I can tell you this, you know, relationships in here, you know, we've been together 11 years, and if it wasn't for this program and prayer, we wouldn't have made the last couple of years. And, you know, this program and prayer has kept us together. And, you know, intimacy is something that we all struggle with, and I can't do it without the principles of this program. And you know, I just want to thank y'all. I'm not going to talk much past 9. I know this meet started at 9, at 8, and runs to 9. I have a lot of stuff that I can say about this program, but you know, the message is, when at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, are finding a new way to live. Years gone by, very few addicts ever had this choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's history, a simple way has been proven to solve the lives of many addicts. It's available to us all. It's a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. You know what? Let's party. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's have a good time. Welcome. Thank you.
Ronnie D. Thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this. Stick around. Come tomorrow night. Got another great speaker for you.
I ask everybody to go around the perimeter.
We'll circle up and say the serenity prayer. Let's get started with our folks. I know this is tough to do, there's a lot of people in here. That looks pretty good. I'm an addict, my name is Doug. Let's have a moment's silence for the addicts who aren't going to make it tonight. Feel the gratitude we have that we're here. Moment's silence. God, grant us the serenity to accept things we cannot change, courage to change things we can. Thanks, everybody.